You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Everybody, it's Thursday, January 18th, 2024. Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast, where we're not ready to announce our retirement either. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, joined by Michael F. Florio and Laquan Jones. And I'm thinking about this. When did we get to the point that athletes don't get to announce their retirement? That like it becomes some sort of breaking news item that everybody's trying to force out there now?
I don't know, but they should probably just let them do their thing.
Right?
I hate it. Like, I understand this is a business based on breaking news and all that. It is the one thing that reporters should collectively come together and be like, out of respect for the players, we're not going to post this. We're going to let them do it on their terms.
Yeah.
Just let it ride. I mean, I think that's part of the reason that Tom Brady like delayed and came back, because, you know, he didn't want anybody to sort of dictate what he wanted to do. And I guess I get it now that we live in this world where, you know, you can be a subscriber to Twitter and like you get paid when you have viral tweets. So like, you know, like
that is true.
I know for a lot of folks, it's not a ton of money necessarily, but I mean, I'm sure if you're Adam Schefter, you're getting a, you know, lunch money. I would say he could buy a tank of gas, but I don't think he drives himself anywhere. I think, you know,
You know what players should do, right? Like they should, to combat this, every player should start saying they're retiring after the season. And then we won't know who's actually retired until they show up on the field the next year or not.
It'll be like an I Am Spartacus thing. Everybody's like, I am retiring. And then like we get to training camp and we're like, oh, that dude's here. So I guess he didn't really retire sort of thing. So, yeah, I don't know.
A little snip, snap, you know.
Yeah.
Michael Scott right there.
I did see something that I guess Jason Kelce gained like 80,000 social media followers after this whole thing, which I'm like,
wow,
if he's retiring, like y'all missed it.
Yeah, it's over.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe he'll tweet more or Instagram more or whatever, and like maybe there's insight there. But I'm just like, wait, maybe you should have been following him while he played and not when he's done playing. But
yeah, like I wonder if he got followers because of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift too.
Yeah, I'm sure the Taylor Swift connection helped him out.
He's done though, right?
I think I personally, Florio, think that I think we've kind of seen the last of Jason Kelce. I just think emotionally, like what happened was really hard. And I just think physically, man, like we talk about the tush push, brotherly shove. Like he is the guy that sort of makes that thing work. And that's physically hard. So, you know, if he comes back, great. I think we're all better for it if he comes back. But if he doesn't, I get it.
He looks like a mummy on the field because he's literally held together by tape right now. So I understand why. He seems to me like his mind isn't ready to give it up yet, but he knows his body has probably had enough.
And I think for a lot of guys, that's really it. I think especially after you've played for so many years, it's less about, I mean, it is partially about the physical and like, you know, you're hurting and you're tired and you're just older. But I think a lot of it is knowing mentally the strain it takes to get yourself ready for training camp. You know, it's not the same as when you're 21, 22 years old and you're just ready to go. When you're a little bit older, I mean, I say that as a dude who, like, you know, getting out of bed's a little bit tougher now than it was 10, 15 years ago. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
when it rains, my body hurts.
And I'm just coming down here to sit in a chair and talk for 45 minutes, right? Like, I'm not smashing into other large people. I get that. I think the mental part of it has as much to do with it than anything else. So, hey, by the way, divisional weekend is coming up, in case you didn't know. We still have not come up with a cutesy nickname for it, have we? You guys come up with anything fun? Okay.
No.
I mean, not that it was your job, but I just figured, in case, you know, something happened in the last couple of days, you found like a cutesy nickname for divisional weekend. But there are four games. It is arguably the best weekend of football all season long. So we will dive into those. We'll get you some DFS picks as well. But I want to start with one particular headline. Dolphins general manager Chris Greer says the goal is to have Tua Tagovailoa in Miami, quote, long term. Basically saying Tua is our guy. You know, we're going to stick by him. We're going to build this team around him. But at this point, fellas, we have seen Tua for a number of years. And I thought this was going to be the year, maybe not a make or break year, but I thought this was going to be the year that we got the full measure of who Tua could be. You know, it was another year with Tyreek Hill, you know, Jalen Waddle. They had, you know, Mike McDaniel back again. It was a chance for them to sort of really gel together. And if he could stay healthy, we would get the full measure of who he was. And the full measure of who he was kind of meh. I mean, like, they started out hot. They sort of faded down the stretch. They had an awful playoff game against Kansas City, and they lost. So, Florida, I'll ask you first. Has Tua hit his ceiling?
Yes. Coming into this year, there was a lot of questions. And I say this as someone who has been backing Tua for the last couple of years. And when there was the whole narrative that he can't throw deep and stuff, I was on the other side. Like, no. This guy can get the job done, and you want this guy for fantasy and all of that. He led the league in passing yards this year. He was up there for passing touchdowns. He had the best rushing attack. Like, yes, there's better running backs like Christian McCaffrey and stuff, but no one produced at a higher rate than this Dolphins backfield. Tyreek Hill was otherworldly and the best wide receiver walking the planet until he hurt his ankle late in the year. Jalen Waddle is one of, if not the best, number two wide receiver in the league. Mike McDaniel, in my opinion, is one of the smartest and best play callers in the NFL. Plus, Tua stayed healthy for the full 17 games. That was a huge question mark.
Huge, yeah.
And it still didn't work out. Like, everything was in front of them late in the year. They could have won the division. They could have had a two seed, a home playoff game. What held them back each of the last 2 years is that they can't get over the hump against good teams, specifically the Buffalo Bills, because they have played them twice in the last, late in the last couple of years for the division.
Try not to smile too big when you say that, by the way.
yeah, after Dolphins fans were talking all year. But my thing is, like, I think Tua could put up numbers. I think he can get you to the playoffs, but he is a limited quarterback, I believe. Like, if you take away the middle of the field for Tua Tagovailoa, he struggles to win downfield outside of the numbers. So when you're limited like that, that's why a lot of people were calling for, like, oh, should Mike McDaniel lose his job? I'm like, no. The fact that they struggle against good teams to me is more on Tua than it is on Mike McDaniel, because Tua is the one actually out there. So I think Tua is a comparable NFL quarterback, but if you have bigger aspirations than what the Dolphins have done, I don't think you can get there with him.
All right. I mean, so then let's spin this fantasy-wise, LQ. I mean, All right, that said everything. I'm just going to stand back and let you go. I mean, your thoughts on him as a fantasy quarterback. Is he a fringe QB1? I mean, where would you draft him if you draft him at all next year?
There's a lot of quarterbacks I would draft over him, man. I mean, especially in this climate where the quarterbacks are, and like,
he's definitely hit a ceiling. And then for fantasy, it's like he's not giving me the 35 points, the Josh Allen numbers. He's not giving me the rushing upside either. And like, what more does he need to be a top tier quarterback one in fantasy? I mean, like Florio hit, like the running game is completely night and day for what it was last season. I mean, they were rushing less than 100 yards per game last season. Now they're at 135, which is like six in the NFL. So it's like they have all the pieces around them. A great wide receiver too. Tyreek Hill could have hit 2,000 yards, you know, if he didn't get banged up in the end of the season. So like, he's definitely hit a ceiling. And then for fantasy, he's not going to make that huge jump that we need him to make. Like, what other pieces does he need? Does he need a tight end? Does he need Kyle Pitts? I mean, I don't know. It's like, what's happening here with Tua in this offense where he can't produce like high QB1 numbers every single week?
Well, and I think Tua falls into that thing that Florio, you and I have talked about, is that he is primarily a pocket passer. He had a grand total of 74 rushing yards this year. And look, he finishes the QB 11. I think a lot of that was based on that really hot start and the big games they had early in the season.
And a lot of QB injuries.
But we've talked about this. If you are not going to put up, let's say a threshold, let's call it about 250 yards, right? Just as a generic threshold. If you're not going to do that, then you have to give us, for fantasy, 30 touchdowns. You've got to keep it around 10 or so interceptions or fewer. You've got to have one of those ridiculous Aaron Rodgers efficiency type passing seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just scrolling through, right, and looking at the top 10 quarterbacks. The only one with fewer than 100 yards rushing was Jared Goff. He had 21. Yeah. He also threw for 4,500 yards. He had 30 touchdowns and 12 interceptions.
Yeah.
It was better than what Tua put up.
Exactly.
The TD interception ratio was better than what Tua gave you. That's what got Jared Goff into the top 10. Look, even Baker Mayfield ran for 160 yards.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
And I think that right now is the limitation, is that Tua is a good quarterback. He is not a guy that I think, if you're talking fantasy, is going to, you know, is going to be that guy that you just draft and you plug him in and you forget about it every week. And in real football, he's a guy who's good enough to get you into the playoffs. And, you know, maybe if the circumstances are right, win you a playoff game. And that's it. I think that's all you expect out of him right now.
Yeah, because the 15 fantasy points per game from him, man, that's like QB2 numbers, if we're going to be honest here, with the upside of like the 1 or 2 weeks he plays like a down team and he puts up like 28 points. But I don't even think he's a start and forget guy, you know, anytime soon. I think he's one of those quarterbacks you wait later in the rounds if you're stacked and you're solid at running back, you know, wide receiver, tight end, and then you go get your quarterback. He's one of those guys that can manage and maintain like between 15 to 20 points every week. But like, I don't feel comfortable even putting the low end QB1, you know, going to this next season, because he's hit his ceiling. There's not much more they can add to there.
And to the point, like, they could win a playoff game. Can they? Like, maybe if they were the 2 seed and they had to play the Steelers, sure, they can do that.
No, they're not a Super Bowl team.
No, they're not.
But they weren't even competitive against the Chiefs. Like, they were competitive, you know, against the Ravens.
Both times.
They play the Bills close, but even that one, like, that was there for the taking for them, and they scored 0 points in the second half of that game. So, like, yeah. I think he's one of those quarterbacks that can get you there. And you're probably one and done unless you're playing a vastly inferior opponent.
So to the point, from weeks 1 through 8, Tua averaged an even 20 fantasy points per game. From weeks 9 through the end of the season,
I'm going to guess 13.
He averaged 13.8.
13, I knew it. Jesus, that's
just under 14 points
per
game.
How is that helping you to the playoffs? How is that helping you in the playoffs?
That is a major fall off in the back part of the season when you need guys to start getting better, or at least staying the same.
Yeah.
And Tua wasn't able to do it. But yeah, we'll see.
I do think one big issue is anytime they get anywhere near the red zone, it's just run, run, run with this team. Like, his touchdowns come on long passes to Tyreek or Waddle, it always feels like.
That is true, yeah.
Which is a whole other topic, maybe for later on. I mean, like, what happens in this backfield, right? I mean,
how do we fix them?
Devon Achane running wild next year.
Sure, but do they give Devon Achane the full workload? I mean, Raheem Mostert had a magical season, but you know, I don't think anyone expects that he's going to score 21 touchdowns again next year. So, yeah, it's an interesting conversation because the Dolphins are sort of stuck in that situation where they've got a, I think, better than average quarterback, but not a quarterback that's good enough to get them to where they need to go.
Yeah.
And so you're sort of stuck in quarterback purgatory right now. And, you know, they're going to ride with their guy and credit to him for that. But something's got to get better, whether it's the quarterback, whether it's the play calling, whether it is adding another piece. Although, I don't know how or where you add one. I don't know how, but we'll see.
Maybe the defense. Defense gets better. Defense wins championships. So
I know we need our boy Troy King on here to sit here and lament about.
Sorry, Troy, they're not winning the Super Bowl in your lifetime.
Their defense was just like their offense. Look at their game logs. They beat up on bad teams. There was a 5-week stretch where they were the number one fantasy defense because they were just playing bad teams. And then when they play good teams, they just they fall apart.
Yeah, so I guess we have to tag Troy in this when we tweet this out.
Sorry, Troy.
Sorry, Troy.
I'm not sorry.
Anyway, let's dive into the divisional weekend preview here. Four games on tap, starting on Saturday, 4:30 Eastern. Texans at Ravens. You can see that game on ESPN and ABC.
I'm excited to see this game.
I think it'll be interesting. I think all these games are fairly interesting, fairly intriguing. Yeah,
heavy hitters.
I mean, I guess we shouldn't be surprised, right? It's the final eight teams, right? This is how it's supposed to be. So a little more or less, though. LQ, more or less than 240.5 passing yards for C.J. Stroud. And just for context, way, way, way back in week one, which feels like a lifetime ago, Stroud went for 242 at Baltimore against the Ravens. So more or less 240.5.
I might go less here. I think it will be a difficult task for him for sure. I think, you know, the Ravens are probably the best defense in the NFL, you know, from the secondary linebackers, et cetera, et cetera. He did his thing against the Browns. I think the Browns just lack discipline and they kind of were bullying Greg Newsome, you know, who was coming back from that groin injury as well. Like he allowed like some pretty important catches and, you know, that was allowing them to drive down the field and put up some points. Stroud only had 16 passes completed for 274, so he's very efficient and most of the things were big plays. And this Ravens defense, man, I don't know if he's going to be able to go out there and do what he did last week, but I'm going to go less, man.
You concur, Florio?
I'm going to go more. Because remember, the Ravens haven't played a game. Their starters haven't played a game in 3 weeks now. So yeah. I don't know if it comes from how it came kind of last week against the Browns where C.J. Stroud and the Texans just jump out and kind of punch them and put up numbers right away, or if it's they're trailing late and he's trying to play catch-up mode. But I do think he'll top that number. This is a fascinating matchup because you could argue with yourself if C.J. Stroud is the best deep ball thrower in the league. Statistically speaking, C.J. Stroud was the best deep ball thrower in the league this year.
Yeah.
The number one defense against deep passes, though, was the Baltimore Ravens. So this is going to be a really, really interesting matchup. Look, the fact that C.J. Stroud's even playing in this game is amazing for him and the Texans. But I do think he puts up numbers again. Not sure how it happens, but I think he tops this number.
I think he tops the number just because of how the offense operates. I think I saw something that Bobby Slowick has not gone like run pass on any particular series at all. I mean, they are a pass first offense. They are the definition of that. And I think especially on the road against a tough opponent, you know, being an underdog, I think the hope is to get out to a fast start, to try and see if you can get out and maybe punch the Ravens in the mouth. If you can come down, drive the football, score, I think that works. Also, I don't know that even as good as Devin Singletary has been in the back half of the year, I just don't think they can survive on a steady diet of him. So that means, I think, having to throw the football. So I think he gets more than that, and I think it's sort of just out of necessity for the Texans in this one. Flip side, though, Florio, more or less than 53.5 rushing yards for Lamar Jackson. He only had 38 against the Texans back in week one.
That's week one. They're trying to keep him healthy. It's January now. We got to do whatever we got to do. I think he tops this number. The Texans, for as bad as they have been against the run the last couple of seasons, they've been one of the best teams at shutting down running backs. And look, Gus Edwards isn't going to break out any long runs or likely won't break out many. They're trying to see what they have in Dalvin Cook there. I think we're going to get a lot of Lamar Jackson running. Not only do I think he tops this number, I think he scores a touchdown because no team allowed more rushing touchdowns to quarterbacks this year than the Houston Texans. So I think Lamar with his legs, because when he's scrambling, like his eyes are downfield, that's when he could connect with Flowers and Odell and maybe Mark Andrews. But also, like, if you're worried about him beating you deep, he'll just run it and take it with his legs.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think he gets over that number because you look at his playoff history, he runs a lot more in the playoffs. Now, he had some different teams previous to this and a different offensive coordinator. He was kind of doing this under Greg Roman, who wanted to run the football a lot more, but he tends to be more active on the ground. And look, Laquan, I know he's heard about it. I mean, he's been asked about it directly. The fact that he does not have a good playoff record, right? That he's got just the one playoff win. And I think, you know, while I think he believes in his teammates, I also think he also feels like, hey, in order for us to win, I have to be the best version of myself. And
exactly.
Being the best version of myself means I got to run the football occasionally.
Louisville. Yeah, you got to tap back into your old stomping ground, man. At first, I said less just based on I was scared of this Houston Texans defense against the run. But this is Lamar Jackson in playoff time. He's going to turn up. Like, I really feel as though he's going to break one long run off and then he's going to be on the over. So I really feel as though there's no question here. He's going to beat this.
All right. All right. So we're all going over on the 53 and a half rushing yards there.
Crazy stat for you guys.
Yeah.
People got mad at me for posting this. Lamar Jackson and CJ Stroud have the same number of career playoff passing touchdowns.
I mean, why would they get mad so at you for toxic. It? It is a fact. It is like
numbers are just, numbers.
It is yeah. What it is, man. Like, don't get mad. I still don't understand why people get mad at that kind of stuff, right? It's not.
I could see Lamar Jackson fans being very triggered.
I guess people are trying to read into it. I think people are trying to read into it and like have you suggest that somehow CJ Stroud is better than Lamar. I don't know.
It just blew my mind.
I mean, I have no emotion about it other than like, yeah, man, that's just kind of wild. Like, I don't, man, social media is a weird, scary place. Anyway, we'll do picks at the end of the show. We'll pick all four of these games together at the end of the show. So the next one, Packers and 49ers, Saturday, 8:15 Eastern on Fox. Florio, who you got? Who has the better fantasy day, Jordan Love or Brock Purdy?
Music to your ears, Marcus. I think it's Brock Purdy, and I don't think it's close.
Wow.
Brock Purdy has Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle. The Packers have struggled against tight ends. They've struggled against pass-catching running backs. They've been better as of late against wide receivers, but Jordan Love is playing like 21 touchdowns and I think one interception in his last few games or whatever it is. He is off the charts good right now. Set history with his first start the other day. All of that being said, he's facing the 49ers defense in San Francisco. It is such a harder challenge than facing most defenses, including the Green Bay Packers. So I think the fact that they are home, that they are rested, that they have the better defense and all and the better weapons and everything. I think Brock Purdy is not only who I think has the better number. We're going to talk DFS later, but he is one of my favorite quarterback plays this week in DFS.
I think Love has a better day, but I think it's because the Niners may not need to lean on Purdy that much. The Packer run defense has been bad. And I think last week they sort of got away with it. Our pal and friend of the show, James Coe, tweeted at some point that every Tony Pollard touch feels like a wasted play. and that's kind of how it was because his efficiency was down so much. And then on top of it, with the Packers jumping out to a quick lead, that sort of took the run game out of play for Dallas. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think you're going to see McCaffrey running a lot. I think you're going to see Deebo running the ball a lot. Look, man, the Packers trying to do their little thing with Dairyland Deebo, with Jaden Reed over there. I think Kyle Shanahan's going to be like, we've got the original. Come watch how we work.
Great value version.
And so, yeah, exactly. He's like, you know, Jaden Reed, I like him. He is the Kirkland version of Deebo right now.
I love him.
And so I think that just they won't need Brock Purdy to have a huge day. But Laquan, I mean, can the Packers win if Jordan Love doesn't have a great day? I mean, can they do it if, you know, Aaron Jones or something running wild?
No, because I think the mixture of why Aaron Jones the last four games has been looking elite. I mean, 100 yards in each of those games is because Jordan Love is playing the way he's been playing as well. On top of that, Aaron Jones was just coming back into a Jordan Love that was already playing like he was playing out of his mind. So I feel like this Packers offense needs to click as a whole because they have such young talent and you never know who's going to go off. And like, they're all healthy now. They're all together now. You got Watson back. It could be Reed. It could be Wicks. It could be Dobbs. It could be Musgrave, you know, to go off. And then you got Aaron Jones out of the backfield. So I think this will collectively have to be on him playing the way he's been playing. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know what I mean? I feel like don't change anything that he's doing for them to get this win.
This is Bo Melton erasure. Like you really gonna name every other guy, but not Bo Melton. I'm hurt.
My bad.
I'm hurt. Look, I think the Packers actually make this interesting. I don't think this is going to be a blowout. And I think for the 49ers, I think for both the 49ers and the Ravens, how this game starts is going to dictate a lot of how it goes because they're both in the same situation where, you know, they didn't play last week. They didn't play in their starters in week 18. The Niners, I mean, they took that loss. They got thumped by the Ravens a few weeks ago. And since then, they bounced back with a win against a bad Commanders team. They didn't play anybody against the Rams in week 18. They had the week off. So both these teams are in situations where they haven't really had any live action for a while now, whereas the teams they're playing have been sort of in playoff mode since the end of the regular season.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be key for both these guys, both these teams to start very, very quickly this year. Since we were talking about Debo, Laquan, more or less 80.5 combined rushing and receiving yards for Debo.
Man, it's playoff time, but he has been quiet, you know, on the back end of the season. I was a little flustered by this, but I'm going to say less because just based on he hasn't had that big blow up game in the last couple of weeks, I can see him still being a value piece in this offense. But Florio named them all, man. You got Kittle, you got CMC, you got Brandon Ayuk, and it's just like you got so many playmakers on there. He's not just a focal point of this offense. So I think 80.5, it's a little high for me.
The problem with trying to pick a Niners player for a DFS lineup is that one of these guys is going to get the short straw, right? Like not all of them can go off. You just got to figure out, you know, who's the guy that you know, is maybe going to get less opportunity this week. Same question to you though. More or less an 80.5 combined yards for Debo, Florio.
I was really tempted to go more because in the past, the playoffs is when Debo comes to life. Like 2 years ago, he was every play, it looked like he had a season ending injury and then he would just somehow climb back up and keep going. But I think the fact that they have Christian McCaffrey now is going to take a lot off of his plate. Because a lot of those short yardage passes that would normally be designed for him are going to go to CMC. So I'll take the under here. And while you guys were discussing Jordan Love, I just was like, can you imagine if Love goes into San Francisco, a team that has given a certain former Packers quarterback fits his entire career and wins? The amount of conspiracy theories we will get next week, I cannot wait.
So that would be the silver lining if the 49ers lose for me. Just to see what 12 would have to say after the fact. Although, I don't know.
LOL.
Part of me thinks he'll just gloss over it and kind of ignore it and not say much about it at all. We'll see.
We would all know.
We would know. We would. Everyone would know. All right. We got two more games to talk about. Also going to do some DFS stuff on the back end of this one and give you our picks for divisional weekend. Stick around for more of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Talking about the divisional playoff games this weekend. Next one, Buccaneers at the Lions, Sunday, 3 o'clock Eastern on the National Broadcasting Channel. National Broadcasting Company? NBC, whatever. Lions coming off a very, very close win. The Buccaneers just took it to the Eagles. And I feel like this game is going to resemble a lot of what we saw last week between the Rams and the Lions. It just feels like they're going to be very similar in that respect. So I'll ask you, Laquan, more or less, 35 and a half passing attempts for Baker Mayfield.
I'm going to go more. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm going to use it again for Baker. I mean, he's been chucking the ball downfield, and Mike Evans is down there somewhere catching it. And I feel like, you know, they might be playing catch up. They might be throwing the ball a ton, and Baker's a fighter, so he's going to go out there and leave it all on field. And we know this Lions offense can score points, and we saw the Bucs defense give up some really big plays this season, too. So I'm going to go more here.
I want to ask you, Flora, same thing, more or less. And also, can the Bucs win being one-dimensional when I guess they've been sort of one-dimensional all year?
I agree with Laquan. I think it's more, and I think they can win that way. I don't, it's going to be tough for them, but my thinking is, like, look back to last week's game. Kyren Williams every week was good for 20 plus touches, and he carried the ball 13 times last week because the Lions are really, really good at stopping the run. I know he was efficient as still as well, but like, They make life tough, and they could stuff you. And Rashad White is the opposite of efficient. I know he had a good game last week against the Eagles, but I think we're going to get a lot more passes to Rashad White, shots downfield. As good as the Lions are against the run, they have struggled against the pass. Plus, to Laquan's point, I think the Lions offense at home is going to put up points, so Baker's going to have to throw. And I think he's going to want to throw because I'm sure you've seen with him and CJ Garner Johnson exchanging words. He's got a little something to prove right now.
I love that. Like, he needs to watch different film or better film, whatever it was. Like, he made a comment about Russell Gage. Like, I love Russell, but he hadn't played a snap for us all year long, so I don't know what film he was watching. Yeah, that's going to be funny. Well, and I mentioned the thing about being one-dimensional because I think you're right. They haven't been able to run. They've been incredibly inefficient running the ball all year long. But at least with the Rams, yes, they didn't run it well against the Lions. Not really a surprise.
Kyren also broke his hand.
He broke his hand late in that game. But at least with the Rams, there was the threat of it, right? If you were the Lions, you had to respect it. You had to understand that they could hurt you on the ground that way. You look at the Buccaneers and you don't necessarily believe that they can do that. So then do you put all of your resources into trying to disrupt Baker? That being said, I think he has to throw the ball a lot. So like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the neighborhood of 40 pass attempts this week against Detroit. Other side, though, 34 and a half pass attempts for Goff, Florio, more or less?
I think I'm going to go less here because I think it'll be kind of similar to what it looked like last week where he only threw 27 passes because they were highly efficient. And I think the Bucs defense kind of similar in the sense where, like, they're good against the run. They can be had against the pass, especially no team struggled more down the stretch against wide receivers than the Bucs really did. So I think Amon-Ra St. Brown could eat. I think Jameson Williams coming to life as of late could be a factor. Maybe Sam Laporta as well gets going as he's another week healthy now. So I think he'll throw plenty, but I think it'll be a more efficient attack than the Bucs, so I'll take less than this number.
I mean, you watched plenty of Jared Goff, Laquan, when he was with the Rams. He is in a lot of ways a different quarterback now than was with Los Angeles. I mean, do you see him having to throw a lot this week?
I have my very strong opinions with his time in Los Angeles, but
Please wait. No, do you want to air him out right now? Because I would love
it. It's on my Twitter. Just type in Jared Goff. You'll see rants and rants and rants. But I really feel like, you know, if he's throwing the ball this much, I feel like they lose the game. So I'm going to go less here. Like, it's still being the 30s. He might throw like 31, 32 or whatever. But I really feel as though, like, this Bucs defense is kind of tough against the run, but we saw last week that Monty and Gibbs was existing. And, you know, I think they will try to get the balance between the run game and this game, even though the Bucs have been tough. But I think if Jared Goff is thrown more than 34 times, 35 times, they'll probably lose the game. And they're probably losing the game at that time where he's playing catch up to throw that much. Because when you have this 1-2 punch in this backfield, you shouldn't have to lean on Goff, you know, throwing that many times. Because I will say, as a Rams fan, you see the ball in his hands for a long period of time, he might end up losing you the game because he might fumble or interception or just mistakes, and it just happens, you know. But I really feel as though they shouldn't lean on him to be throwing the ball a ton.
And I think the other part of that is they are going to see pressure from the Bucs defense. They're going to get after him a lot. And to your point, if they're having to throw the ball 35 times, that means more chances to get after Jared Goff, more chances to, if not get sacks, get hurries, force him to get rid of the ball before he's ready to, which can lead to mistakes. So I think for Goff and the Lions to be successful, it's going to have to be about efficiency. If they can keep him around 25 to 30 pass attempts, I think they're in a much better shape. If anything more than that, I think Laquan is right. I think it's things are bad and they are losing. So I'm going to go under as well there. Last one, the one that we know that Florio is going to lock himself in a soundproof booth for. Chiefs at Bills, Sunday, 6:30 Eastern on CBS. Laquan, more or less, 14 and a half rush attempts for Isaiah Pacheco.
I'm going to go more here. I mean, Jersey's finest. Got a shout out to my guy, man.
But, Rutgers forever.
Yeah, I think they're gonna run. They're going to run the ball against this Bills team, man. And I think Pacheco, he gets hot, and I feel like, you know, he'll smash this 14 and a half rushing attempts.
I think so, too. I mean, I think that's going to be the way to win because, one, yep. The Bills have been tough against the pass. Two, the weather, again, it's supposed to be pretty nasty out there, right, Florio, again this week?
It's brick.
Cold. Snow is, apparently all the snow is going to be gone by Friday or so, but you never know. But yeah, it's going to be cold, and the Bills have struggled against explosive runners this year, so I think we're going to see a lot of Pacheco, especially because their linebackers are so banged up right now.
Yeah.
Is he explosive? He just runs very, very hard.
poor Bill's grass, man.
That grass is so
I was watching that game last week against Miami where, you know, it was freezing cold and the ground was probably frozen. Like, I would imagine if you were on field level, listening to Isaiah Pacheco run was probably like watching a tap dance show. It's probably just like... just like stomping on this like cement, basically. He's not going to sneak up on anybody with his running style. It's just not.
If the field could talk.
It would say, ow, get off me. That's what it would say.
Who is this guy?
Seriously. Florio, more or less than 9.5 rush attempts for Josh Allen this week?
I think more, but I do question how efficient it's going to be. I think the team that did the best job this year of containing Josh as a runner was the Kansas City Chiefs. And they did it in a weird way where like their D-line would create pressure but wasn't going for sacks. And like they were just trying to contain. They had a spy on him as well. I do think he's going to run because he's Josh Allen. And we know what he can do with his legs when he gets going. I also think there will be times where he feels the pressure and no one's open because his Chiefs secondary is so good that he tries to run and maybe won't create a whole bunch of space, or maybe he will. I don't know. I'm hoping he does, but I think that he will go over. He ran 10 times against them last time. I think in a game that he's going to try to do everything he can to get them to win. I expect him to run a whole bunch.
The best Josh Allen is a chaotic Josh Allen. Yep. And a chaotic Josh Allen is running. And not necessarily like some undesigned runs, but a lot just because he's just saying, F it, I'm going to make a play here. And that is the best. Look, that touchdown run he had where he pulled the old Kenny Pickett fake slide and then just took off for a score. Yeah. That was peak chaotic Josh Allen. And so I think that's what they're going to have to do for them to be successful. You know, especially because, look, the passing game has been good, not great. We talked earlier in the week about Stephon Diggs and how it's been a while since we've seen a big blow up game from him. But beyond that, there's nobody else that I think is keeping defensive coordinators up at night, right? Like nobody's sweating about how to stop Gabe Davis or Khalil Shakir, or, you know, and Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid are eating off each other's plates.
That's the one. I think Kincaid is going to have a good week this week.
All right. Look, man, he's used to playing in cold weather. He played at Utah. Like, he's used to playing in snow and ice and that sort of stuff.
It's brick.
So
I would avoid Diggs in DFS, too, because no team shuts him down like the Kansas City Chiefs have.
Yeah, no. And I think Steve Spagnuolo is going to find a way to make sure he's in check you know, as much as possible. All right. Okay. I'm gonna switch this around. I was gonna wait till the very. We'll wait till the very end to do our picks. That'll be like it's the teaser. Everybody, just hang on for like another 10 minutes or so, and we'll get you our staff picks. Let's do some value picks though for Daily Fantasy this week. We each got two of them. So Laquan, I will let you give your two, and then Florio, and then I'll go. So go ahead.
First up at 5,200, I got the great value version of Deebo Samuel, Jaden Reed. I mean, Darryl, I really feel so. This would be a great little addition to your DFS picks because at 5,200, that's not bad for a guy that essentially was the one for the Packers this season. But another value pick, I got the Lions defense, man, at 3,300. I mean, if you stack with the CMCs, the high price guys, you can stick them in as a value play here because you're going to be able to get Baker to throw aggressively downfield to cause some turnovers. So you might get some sacks. You might get some interceptions as well with Baker being so aggressive.
All right. So Reed and the Lions. Florio, who are your two guys?
I have Cade Otton at 3,500, who don't look now. Last week, he led the Bucs in targets, catches, and yards. And he's someone that we were talking a lot about on this podcast and on Fantasy Live in the second half of the season and saying, like, doesn't have the biggest ceiling, but he's a safe floor tight end. And most weeks he was good for like 8 fantasy points. So at 3,500 to get that safe floor with the added production that we saw last week against the Lions team that has struggled against tight ends. And then Khalil Shakir, because like I said, I think the Chiefs and Spagnuolo are going to do a really good job of limiting Stephon Diggs. He's had one good game in the last 5 times they've played him. Shakir is coming to life as a playmaker for the Bills. And something Laquan touched on earlier in the week is Josh Allen does like throwing to the slot receivers, especially if they're going to get pressure on him and blitz, and the Chiefs blitz one of the highest rates in the NFL. I think Josh will get rid of the ball quickly, and that'll be Shakir and Dalton Kincaid, I think, that are the two that he is trying to get the ball to quickly.
I can't be certain without going back and counting, but I feel like Cade Otton probably made more appearances in my weekly sleepers column than any other player just because it's nice. Hey, man, he can catch a touchdown. Like, you need a tight end. This dude could catch a touchdown, which is kind of all you're looking for if you're talking about a sleeper or streaming tight end. My two guys, I'm going to go with Josh Reynolds at 3,700. I talked about the Lions and how much they're going to throw the football. I don't think they need to throw it a lot necessarily as long as they are efficient. Yes, Amon-Ra is going to get his. Sam Laporte is going to get his. But Josh Reynolds is that guy who sort of thrives because the attention is being paid to so many other players there. I thought about maybe going Jameson Williams, but he really is super boom or bust, right? Like, you need him to hit one of these long plays, whereas Josh Reynolds can get a few targets, maybe get some yards after the catch and find his way into the end zone. So I do like him against that pass funnel defense that Tampa Bay has. The other one, which felt a lot better when I first wrote this down than it does right now, but Isaiah Likely. And the reason I say it doesn't feel quite as good is because there is some talk that Mark Andrews could be back for this weekend against the Texans. Now, I think even if Andrews does come back, how much are they going to work him in after such a long layoff coming off an injury? I don't think he gets necessarily his full route opportunity that he would if he were completely healthy. So I think that still means some opportunities for Isaiah Likely against a defense that has been bad against tight ends all year long. Yes, we all said that Lamar Jackson is going to run the football effectively, but that doesn't mean he won't throw it as well. And I think Isaiah Likely can be a big target. At 4,700, it does give you a little bit of flexibility from the tight end spot to go some other places. So those are our best value picks. Now it's time to put together a lineup. So LQ, go through. Who do you have? I'm seeing a lot of green and gold in this lineup.
I made some changes last minute, but
okay, all right.
I'm gonna go Jordan Love at the quarterback position, and then CMC. That's where you can get the good value plays here with Jaden Reed, and then Aaron Jones, Mike Evans. Those guys have to be in there. I really think they're gonna have big plays, big games as well. Khalil Shakir. I mean, Florio mentioned him. He's been my guy, man. I really want him to blossom into that slot position and turn up. Cade Otton and Mark Andrews, man, he might sneak in just for some red zone duty. And then you got the value play here, so you can have all these big names with the Lions defense.
All right. Not bad at all. I think all those are plays. Flory, who do you have?
A lot of red and gold in mind. Brock Purdy, who I said earlier, one of my favorite plays. Isaiah Pacheco, I think they're going to give him the ball plenty. CMC, Khalil Shakir, for all the reasons we spoke about. Mike Evans, because he's still the best big play threat there. Jaden Reed, for much of what Laquan said. Cade Otton, for what I said earlier. two tight end lineup, which is something I think we all did, which is crazy, but I got George Kittle in at the flex and then the 49ers defense. I'm going big on your Niners this week, Marcus.
I see. I don't know if that makes me excited or nervous, but if it makes you feel any better, I went pretty big on Niners as well because I started with Brock Purdy at quarterback. I'll say this. I went through several different permutations. I mean, I was shuffling pieces around for a while till I came up with this one. But I went Brock Purdy at quarterback. I wanted to make sure I got McCaffrey in against that Packer defense, so I paid up for him. Followed that up with Isaiah Pacheco. Was able to get Mike Evans in because my other wide receivers, Josh Reynolds, who I had as a value, and Odell Beckham Jr., who I just have a feeling that somehow, well, he's the guy with the playoff experience that the Ravens are going to get him involved. Dude, we saw how great he was in that Super Bowl before he got hurt, right? He was on his way to having a day before he got injured in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. I did throw Isaiah Likely in there, so I'm expecting that's where the ball goes when Lamar's throwing it. He was able to get George Kittle in at the flex. And I took the Chiefs' defense. I don't know that I love it. I think that, you know, again, chaotic Josh Allen is a running Josh Allen. It's also Josh Allen is going to give the ball away once or twice too, because that's true. That's just part of the business, right?
Like, that's what it is.
That's just what it is, right? Josh gives and Josh takes away. So I think the Chiefs as my defense rounded out. So that gets us. Hey, it was less than 10 minutes. It was like 4 minutes. gets us to our staff picks. So we pick all four games. Laquan, who do you like to get to the respective championship games?
I got Ravens, 49ers, Lions, and Kansas City, man. I can't bet against Mahomes. It's like betting against Brady.
Even against even his first game on the road, Bills Mafia has been salivating for this moment for years. They have been waiting for this opportunity for years, and you're still going to take the Chiefs. All right.
Yeah,
all right,
we'll Florida's giving me evil eyes right now.
It's a good thing you guys aren't in the same room because it might get heated. Who knows? It's going to be really awkward if you guys were sitting next to each other. Florio, we know you're taking the Bills. Who else do you
have? I put them in order of how confident I am that they will win.
Okay.
And I went 49ers first.
Okay.
I went Lions second, Ravens third, Bills fourth. So obviously not as much confidence as maybe you guys would anticipate. But Marcus, not only has Bills Mafia been waiting for this for years, Josh Allen yesterday said he has been dreaming of this moment for years. And the entire Bills are like, this is the one. So I think they know if we lose this game, we're second class citizens in the AFC. It's not a rivalry, all of this. So I'm hoping they come through, but just like Laquan said, I have them last because 15 on the other side, he's a pretty good quarterback in his own right.
I have heard that that he's pretty decent. I love Josh Allen saying, like, I've been dreaming of this for years. I mean, he probably dreamed for like 3 years, right? Like,
that's a nightmare.
It hasn't been that long. It's not like, you know, it's not like he was a kid in Fireball being like, I can't wait to play Patrick Mahomes at Highmark Stadium in 2024. I don't think that happened. I'm gonna take the Ravens. I think they battle. I think the Texans get their licks in, but I think the Ravens ultimately get the win. I think the same for the 49ers, that the Packers will make this interesting. But I think the Niners kind of pull away in the fourth quarter and get the win there. I think the Lions squeak one out. I think it'll look a lot like they did last week against the Rams, where it is a nail biter through and through, but Detroit somehow gets through. And Buffalo and Kansas City, I think it's going to be wild and chaotic and incredibly entertaining. And I think Bills Mafia finally... Look, they can feed the pit. Like, they're going to feed the pit before. Does this mean, look, we were talking about this before the show, right? There's a big pit where the new stadium is going to be next to Highmark Stadium. What was it? Somebody fell in a few weeks ago?
Before the Chiefs game, I think it was.
Okay.
And they haven't lost since. So every week a fan jumps in. They get hospitalized. They might be legal issues. I don't know, but they keep doing it.
This is insane. This is crazy work.
The hospital system in the Buffalo area, like from like August through January or February, must be just on tilt, right? Because people jumping through flaming tables. Now they're falling into a pit. I'm sure the nurses and doctors around there they mark off game day. They're like, well, we know.
Yeah, we're used to it.
At least a handful of folks are going to come in here from the stadium.
I understand why the game was canceled, was postponed last week, but it's so funny that they did it for safety concerns for the fans. And before the game on Monday, fans are jumping through flaming tables. Like, they have no concern for their own safety.
Right? I mean, like, it's like the NFL is trying to look out for Buffalo's fans because Buffalo's fans won't do it for themselves.
Save yourself from
yourself.
Right. So anyway, it should be a really fun weekend of football. We will be back next week to sort of recap that and to dive into some other things. Just to preview this, our pal and colleague Maurice Jones-Drew wrote an article about where he thinks some big name free agent running back should go in the offseason. So we'll talk about that. Maybe we'll try to reach out to MJD if he's not traveling to parts abroad. This is when he goes on his world tour and he calls himself Indiana Jones-Drew. So we'll see. We'll see if Maurice is still stateside, and we'll try to see if we can line him up to get on the show at some point to talk about his running backs. But in the meantime, that'll do it for this edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. Stay happy, safe, and healthy. Do good and live well. Enjoy the football this weekend, everybody. And we will talk to you next week.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.